to the victims and their families, known and unknown. When you have eliminated the impossible, whatever remains, however improbable, must be the truth. Sherlock Holmes. Preface. The rarest form of murder is serial, despite what we see on CSI or Mindhunter, or the films and procedurals that dominate popular culture. People who kill randomly and for no reason are extremely uncommon. It's why they loom so large in our collective mindscape. It's also why many of us think we know of every such American killer. But the subject of this book was unlike anything the FBI had ever encountered. He was a new kind of monster, likely responsible for the greatest string of unsolved disappearances and murders in modern American history. And you have probably never heard of him. Author's note. This book is based on hundreds of hours of interviews with most of the special agents on this case. Passages where someone's thoughts are described are based on information they gave directly. In some cases, FBI interrogations have been condensed and edited for clarity. Part 1. 1. On the side of a four-lane road, obscured by snowdrifts 5 feet high, sat a small coffee kiosk, its bright teal paint vibrant against the asphalt and gray big box stores. Drivers passing by could see the familiar top, peeking above the piles of snow. This cheerful but lonely little shack. The night before, 18-year-old Samantha Koenig had been working this kiosk alone. Now she had vanished. She had been on the job for less than a month. She was reported missing the morning of Thursday, February 2, 2012, by the first barista to show up at the coffee kiosk that day. That barista felt something was not right. Samantha was usually very responsible about closing the kiosk properly. But this morning, things were out of place, and the previous day's take was gone. What little the Anchorage Police Department had learned about Samantha in one day left them with almost no leads. She was a popular high school senior, who sometimes cut class and maybe had a history with drugs. She got along with everyone, not just the cool kids. She had two main people in her life, her boyfriend Dwayne, who she'd been dating for almost a year, and her single father, James. So, what to make of this scene? Yes, Samantha could have been kidnapped, but to investigators, it seemed more likely that she had gone off on her own. The police found no signs of a struggle. Inside the kiosk was a panic button, and Samantha hadn't hit it. She'd been using her cell phone before and after she had gone missing, fighting with Dwayne, texting him to leave her alone, fighting over her certainty he was cheating on her. Then again, she had also called her dad, asking him to stop by the kiosk with some dinner. Why do that if she was planning to run away? To the sergeant of the Anchorage Police Department, this seemed like a good test run for field training a novice. He decided to give the case to Detective Monique Dahl, a third-generation cop, 35 years old, working her first day in homicide. Dahl had spent 10 years in narcotics, 4 of those undercover with the DEA. She had a lot to recommend her. Dahl stood out, too, as one of the most glamorous officers in Anchorage. She looked like her name. Blonde and beautiful, though she answered to the androgynous nickname, Mickey. She was married to another star at APD, the handsome Justin Dahl, and they were something of a local power couple. So the sergeant told Dahl, "Your lead on this. Suspicious circumstance," he called it. Across town, FBI Special Agent Steve Payne was tying up a drug case when a friend at the police department called. This is common practice in Anchorage, a big city that runs like a small town. Cops, FBI agents, defense lawyers, prosecutors, judges, everyone knows everyone. It is the paradox of being Alaskan. This state is home to rugged individualists who nonetheless know there will come a time, amid the cold, unpitying winters, when they will need help.